Hey, this is Steve, and this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus in whatever you're going through today. Are you going through frustration? I mean, are you like me? Do you at times get frustrated with God? Yeah, don't you want Him sometimes to speak clearer, to act sooner, to go ahead and get done with the business of bringing you to who you're supposed to be and everything? But maybe the frustration isn't with God. Maybe it ought to be with us. Maybe we're waiting on all the answers to the questions that God isn't giving, and we're ignoring the answers He is giving. Maybe we're missing out on a critical piece of what God really wants to do in our lives. Today, Pastor Jason, our youth pastor, brings a special message about the key element in our life that we need to be clued in on so that God can do the work that He is eager to do in us.
What would you prefer? All right, that's the name of our game. So in this game, we're going to be looking at different objects. We're going to be comparing them, and I'm going to pose the question, which would you prefer? Now, in this game, we're also going to be talking about the process that goes into making these different items. So, first item is a box, store-bought box of cookies. Okay? So, I went to Walmart yesterday, and I bought these cookies. They were on the shelf. And they're chocolate chip cookies. They have a whole lot of ingredients in them, more than I have time to read right now, and I probably can't pronounce a lot of them. So, would you prefer store-bought chocolate chip cookies or these homemade chocolate chip cookies? All right, so we'll say this is A. And this is B. Raise your hand in here if you would rather have A, the store-bought cookies. You would prefer those. All right, raise your hand in here this morning if you would prefer the homemade chocolate chip cookies. Ah, yes. Moving on, two more items. Oh. All right, that's where that other cookie went. All right, so, you know, we have lots of options. Life is really convenient for us here in the 21st century. For dinner tonight, you could go by and pick up one of these guys. Yummy. Frozen chicken, fish, maybe. Frozen mystery meat right there. And I was told up in the upper right-hand corner, that's a brownie. It looks like a brick, but anyway. Or you can choose to have something like this, cooked in a crock pot. Zach, really? Buddy, that's where it's at. So, again, I don't have a visual for the mystery meat. We'll just have to use the picture. So raise your hand if you would prefer to have this. Nobody? I mean, it's really easy. You just put it in the microwave, 2.5 minutes, and you're done. All right, how about a great meal cooked in a crock pot? All right. So, but, you know, a crock pot, that's not as convenient, right? I mean, think about how all the thought you have to put into making something in a crock pot. I mean, it's a process, right? You got to buy all the ingredients. You got to put them together. You got to let it sit and simmer. But I agree, too. I would much rather have something out of a crock pot. All right. So, this is a grill lighter. So, all right, guys, I'm gonna brag on myself a little bit here. I'm sorry. So my family, we're in a new house, and we haven't stayed in our house when it's been winter time before. And we've got gas logs. And I've never lived in a house that has gas logs before. So I didn't really, I know, Elizabeth, but I figured it out this week, so I'm kind of proud of myself. Anyway, so this is a grill lighter. And we cut on our fire last night, and it really, really kept us warm. But this is a grill lighter, and it's real easy to use. Doesn't take long, they're not expensive, so you can go buy one of these. Or Would you rather have a campfire? Now, this is as far as like keeping you warm. This has got a flame, so I guess you could kind of, I don't really know how that, so would you prefer A, the grill lighter to keep you warm, or B, the campfire to keep you warm? Raise your hand for A, and raise your hand for B. All right, so let's think of some of the steps that you have to go through to make a campfire. You got to find the wood. You got to clear out a location. You got to try and light it. You got to go buy the gas when you can't get it to light. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe that's just me. All right. So, guys, all of us in here agree that when you put time and thought and there's a process behind creating something, it has a lot more value than just something simple that we can go and purchase ourselves, right? Right? Good. So today, we're going to be in our third week looking at the same story from the book of Luke, the story of the grateful leper. So I want to dive in here, but keep that thought in the back of your mind that we prefer something that takes a process, because I've got a hunch that God does too. Follow along with me. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Pause. Okay, how many men were there together crying out to Jesus? 10. Good. And they cried out for Jesus to have mercy on them. All right, let's see what the next verse says. He, Jesus, looked at them and said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." This next part is the linchpin right here. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. All right, we're still talking about the same 10 guys here, right? The same 10 lepers. Okay? So, Jesus asked them to do something specifically, didn't he? What did he ask them to do? He said, go show yourselves to the priests. You know, leprosy is this horrible skin disease, and there were laws in the Old Testament as to the way to show yourself clean. All right, so when Jesus commanded them to do this, how many of them obeyed his command and did what he asked them to? All of them. All of them. Now, let's look at that verse one more time, Michael. Did Jesus cleanse them first and then they went on their way? No. How did it go? Did they listen to what Jesus said and then they were cleansed? Keep that in your mind. We'll come back to that. Let's finish these verses out there. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus and shouted, "Praise God!" Now, guys, you remember last week we all had an opportunity to shout "Praise God" together. Just want to kind of let this question sit in your mind. What did your shout sound like this week? What did your shout sound like with your family, with your spouse, with your boss, with your coworkers? What did your shout sound like? He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. Then he said, "Has none?" Where are the 10? Where are the other 10? Didn't they come back? "Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Your faith has healed you. You know, a lot of times, God calls us first to obey, and then he guides us. First, he calls us to obey, and then he guides us. All right? You should keep that thought in your mind. That's the crux of this whole message. God calls us but he also gives us the ability to obey to him, and then he guides us. You know, a lot of times I think in our culture, in our immediate gratification culture, in a culture where we want to have our life planned out, our next 5 years, our next 20 years planned out, is that, well, yeah, we want God to show us what's going to happen in the next 20 years. But guys, a lot of times, he only shows us the next step. We want God to say, hey, Jason, this is what's going to happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now. This is where you'll be. But guys, a lot of times and oftentimes, he only gives us enough light for the next step. He calls us to follow him, but he doesn't show us what might happen next week or tomorrow. But guess what, guys? That's not something to be upset about. That's something to be thankful for. That's something to have gratitude about. All right, so you ready? I debated on whether or not I should put this picture in here, but I did anyway. This is a picture of me when I was in middle school. Oh, wow. That's harsh. That's harsh. Not the one with glasses. Thanks a lot, Tracy. So that's me in the awesome blue shirt right there with my grandma when I was in middle school, okay? And now this is a picture of me and my beautiful bride today. Yeah, thank you, thank you. No, I'm kidding. I know you're whistling for my wife, but that's all right. So guys, let's flip back to that picture when I was in middle school. There's no way that I could have known where God was going to guide me in the years from then until now. But that's okay. Guys, there have been tons of ups and downs. There's been times when I've been walking close with God. There's been times when I've been really, really super far away from God. But you know what? Be thankful for that. Be grateful that you get the privilege of walking with him day by day. Because really, that's where the excitement is. I know for me, I know I can make my plans for the future. And that's not saying, I'm not trying to say that that's a bad thing. We need to be diligent about making our plans. But God has promised us that's where the trust takes place. That's where we put our confidence in him and not in ourselves. Not in ourselves. But also, I think a lot of times, and this would be the next blank you have here, we want God to bless us. And then we'll obey. Then we'll obey. Looking back at this passage, he told them, Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priests. He didn't, the lepers, they didn't wait until they were cleansed to obey, did they? No, Jesus, when they asked for mercy, Jesus gave them the mercy, and as they went, they saw the proof that Jesus had cleansed them. They acted on grace through asking for mercy, and then Jesus cleansed them on their way. But when we get kind of stuck in the idea that we want to wait for God to bless us and then we'll obey, guys, that's not how God works. You know, one of the parables that Jesus told, I just was thinking about this as I was giving the message at 8:30. Jesus talks about a farmer who was bringing in crops, and he went out to his barns, and he said, pull the barns down, build bigger barns. The harvest is going to be great. You guys remember what happened to that man after he had pulled down his barns? He was trying to build bigger and bigger and bigger barns. Jesus said, you fool, tonight your life will be required of you. Your soul will be required of you. Guys, it's good to plan, but God is ultimately in control, right? Right? Yeah, and we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful for that. But listen, when we obey, then God guides. That's the next blank on your page there, or your digital app. When we obey, God guides. Look back at verse 14 with me again. really love how we've been able to dig into this passage, and God shows me something new each time we look at it. But just imagine yourself as one of these 10 men, these 10 people. You know, in a way, we're all there anyway. We're just like these guys. Just like these guys. But our disease is not necessarily a physical one that we can see with our eyes. But our disease is much deeper than that. You know, our disease, kind of the disease of disobedience. You know, because when we're born, we're set. We're wanting to do our own thing. We don't want to listen to anyone else but ourselves. We're all about us and taking care of our needs and immediate gratification. You know, God, as our Lord and Savior, He's the King, and He's the rightful King. I know I have a hard time understanding this often because we don't really live in a monarchy, but God is King. He's got ultimate authority. And as we're born and we're wanting to go our own way, because we're wanting to go our own way, we live in God's creation. God has the right to punish us, because when we disobey a king, guess what is it called when we disobey a king or a ruler or a master? Treason, exactly. And that's how we're born, guys. Me and you and all of us. See, the ground is level here. You know, there's nothing that you can do to earn God's love or God's favor, because God is holy. That's His number one attribute. I was having a conversation with somebody, and I don't know how it came up or came out, but our culture really teaches us and breeds in us the need to succeed at everything we try, and why that's a really good attribute. We need to do all things well and for the glory of God. The Christian life is the only thing that exists that begins with failure. Because you cannot do it, and I cannot do it on my own. We have to understand that before God, there's nothing we can do to earn His grace. But see, that's the thing about grace and mercy. You can't earn it. It's impossible. Just like these 10 lepers, they were shown mercy. What did they do to earn it? Nothing. And 9 of them weren't even grateful for the mercy they were shown. Gosh, do we get stuck in that? I think we do. I think we so often do. But God saw us. They deserve punishment. We deserve punishment. I deserve punishment. But Jesus said, "Dad, I'll take their punishment." When we choose to turn away from following our own direction, when we choose to turn back to God in gratitude and thankfulness, Jesus says, "Dad, He's mine. She's mine. I will take their punishment." That's what happened on the cross. God took the punishment that I deserve and that you deserve, and He transferred it from us and poured it out on Jesus, because treason has to be punished, or God would not be just, and we served a just God. Amen? Amen. That's why we, as people created in God's image, have a yearning to see justice done here on earth. Because we were created in God's image and we desire that. But God punished His Son Jesus in our behalf. But you know what? Now when we turn to Jesus Christ, we turn away from ourselves, and we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, He, Jesus Christ, through His resurrection, transfers His life to us. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ lives within each and every one of us and empowers us to live the life that follows in step with Jesus Christ. And if that's not good news, I don't have anything else to say. That is amazing. And we should all be super, super, super thankful for that. Amen. Good. I'm glad a few of us agree. All right. So Proverbs 16, verse 9 says that man, we can determine our plans, but it's the Lord that determines our steps. We can make our plans. We can choose what we're going to do. Oh man, the Bible is rich with these illustrations, guys. You know, you can, Jesus tells the story of the men who get together and said, tomorrow we will go and travel here and do this business and make this money. But guys, it's God that orders our steps. The Lord orders our steps. And you know, this Christian life, one of the things I'm most thankful for, one of the reasons I think we need to focus on gratitude and thanksgiving so much is because we have so much to be thankful for, right? I mean, how can we not be thankful for all that we've been given? One of the things that I'm most thankful for in the Christian life is to have people that have lived it longer than I have. People who I can ask for wisdom, because guess what, guys? I need help. I need help knowing what it looks like to be a godly father, to raise my sons and daughter like God would have me to. I need help knowing what it looks like to be a godly son, to be a godly husband, to be a friend like I'm supposed to be. But see, you know, one of the things that we're all about here, and Steve pointed this out earlier, but here at the Orchard Church, we're all about loving God, loving others, and making disciples that makes disciples. One thing about disciple making is there's somebody who's been a believer longer than you have, and you look to them, and you admire what they're doing, and you ask them to pour into you. But there's also people who haven't been in the faith as long as you have either. And see, it's a constant following and bringing somebody along with you. And that's at the heart of what disciple making is. And guys, I guess this is a good way to sum it up, the best way that I know how, is that the Christian life, next blank on your page here, the Christian life is a marathon. And it's not a sprint. The Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. These cookies are a sprint, but these are a marathon. You know, God has taught us in His Word that He wants us to be continually transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. A lot of times I think, and man, I get this wrong too. I think all of us do. We want our relationship to Jesus, with Jesus, to be, okay, Jesus, I pray this prayer, I cried a tear, I checked the box on a response card, now I'm good, got my fire insurance, I'm just gonna sit back and do what I want to. But see, that is such a shallow, non-biblical understanding of what our relationship with Jesus looks like. It's a process. Just like it's a process to cook something in a crock pot. It's a process. And there's a big church word for this. It's called sanctification. But our Christian life has a definite beginning. But guys, listen, it has no end. Our Christian life has no end, even when we leave this earth, we will continue to become more and more like Jesus Christ every day. And you know what? That's because God is so in love with the way that His Son is that He wants to make everybody in this room little Jesuses. You know, that's what the word Christian stands for, right? Little Christ. And that was originally used as a derogatory term in the Roman world. That's what I want to be. I want to be just like Christ. And I want you guys to be on this journey with me. That's what God wants. God wants all of us to see ourselves as utterly dependent on Him. And when we obey, He guides more and more each and every step. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Romans 12, verse 2, Paul put it like this. He said, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You see this word transform? The Greek word is metamorpho, which we get the word metamorphosis from. And you guys, it's not seasonally appropriate now, but when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, it goes into its cocoon as a completely different animal until it comes out. That's God's desire for our life too. How does that happen? By changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. You see, we've got this gift. God has given us this gift. And this gift is called repentance. And that's the big word that just means to turn around. Because we were born doing our own thing and wanting to go our own way. But God, through his grace, has given us the gift to turn around and to come back to him. And that gift was given to us before the foundation of the world. That gift was given to us. But see, it's not just for beginning our Christian life. That gift of repentance is available to us moment by moment. Each time the Holy Spirit kind of says, Jason, you remember when you cut that car off in traffic? You shouldn't have done that. You really shouldn't have done that. Or Jason, you remember you got upset at your wife? You raised your voice at her? Man, you got to stop doing that. That's when we get the gift, the privilege, guys. We don't have to be stuck doing our own mean, ugly things. We have the gift of saying, God, I'm sorry. But it is so important to also go back and repent and apologize to the person we've offended too. But guys, God has given us the gift of repentance to use moment by moment and day by day, hour by hour. That's so amazing. That's at the heart of what we have to be grateful for, what we have to be thankful for. So fathers in the room, are you stepping in line with God's blessings in the way you treat your wife, in the way you treat your kids? Wives, are you stepping in God's grace, in your relationship with your husband, your friends, your coworkers, singles? What does this look like for you as you're interacting with your friends? You know, I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and the only relationships that really will ever be eternal are our friendships. You know, not even our marriages. I think in our culture, we put a lot of emphasis on marriage. When, man, our fellowship together as believers, that is going to last for eternity. So guys, what does that look like in your friendships, in your relationships with one another? Because yeah, Jesus said the first commandment, the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Are you stepping in God's blessing each and every day?
Hey, thanks for listening to Jason's message. I hope it was a blessing to you. If you are going to be in LAJ on December the 24th, we would love for you to celebrate Christ's birthday with us at our 8th annual Christmas Eve service. It's going to be at 4 p.m. and this year we're doing something really special. Instead of having our Christmas Eve service in our church auditorium, we're going to return to the LAJ Elementary School auditorium, where we're going to have our biggest ever Christmas Eve celebration. It will be open to anybody of all ages and all walks of life. And I hope you'll join us on Christmas Eve. It's at 4 o'clock. If you want details, you can get them on our website. That's orchardlaj.com. I hope to see you then. Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas.